Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind on a Friday morning edition of The Early Line. Is it officially a football Friday? Well, yesterday we did have football. It was glorious to watch it out on the field, at least for as long as we had it, since there was a suspension of the game in a high-scoring first half, a touchdown early in the third quarter. Then the rains came, and it's a game that doesn't count in the standings. No reason for that game to continue. We'll get into that and much, much more today. I'm Donnie Wrightside, joined by Joe Ranieri on this glorious first Friday of August. The energy is high. Football, we watched it. A lot of topics to go over. The Olympics in full swing. Major League Baseball. The NFL kickoff rolls. Joe, come on now. Can't get any better than this.
Welcome back, August, Donnie. Is there anything better than when the calendar turns, says goodbye to July, welcomes in August? We know our lives are about to be over, and I am all for it, Donnie.
Weekends will never be the same at this point. And by the way, thanks for sending the humidity up here to the East Coast. It is baking this morning, like, as if we were sitting in South Florida in the same studio. But let's get to some of the hottest topics in the sports landscape. The 7-7. Yeah, it deals with football, the Texans and the Bears. 21-17 final yesterday, but it was a suspended short game. But my goodness, were we headed for 50, 60 plus points in this game? It's 21-17. Ripping three touchdown passes. Mills a touchdown pass. We got some clean offensive football yesterday, which I was surprised by, but obviously the topics we'll get to a little bit later. The new kickoff rule, shaking the foundation of what we love about football. And here we go, Joe.
Where exactly has that Brett Rippon been? I'm just curious, Donnie. We knew he was certainly capable, but it looks like, could he be the number two now? As Caleb Williams' backup, could he? There could be a quarterback controversy in Chicago sooner rather than later.
Bajic coming into the game, Mills, an offensive show. I mean, come on, we had five total touchdowns. Sometimes we don't even see five total touchdowns in the preseason, it feels like, let alone touchdown passes. That was pretty impressive coming out last night, but also the betting philosophies. Know who the backup quarterbacks are. If they're undrafted rookies that are going to get a full half of football, that game's probably going to stay under. But guys are still trying to make the team, and both offensive coordinators called a pretty good game. 21-17, it was great to see out there. And again, the hot topics there we'll get to a little bit later in the show. The kickoff rules and how they played out. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But the Olympics, certainly first and foremost on our mind. The Americans, some of the biggest superstars in the world, dominating in their fields. Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles, big performances, decorated. The GOATs of all time, some are saying here, Joe.
Amazing stuff. And I mean, the narratives and the storylines kind of wrote themselves with these Olympics, didn't they, Donnie? I mean, Simone Biles being the last one to go on the all around yesterday. Everybody else's scores were in. So she knew exactly what she had to do on one of her best routines to get gold. Just truly, truly good stuff here. I mean, from a narrative perspective, I think the Olympics have certainly hit a home run so far.
No, they haven't. Also, like, I feel washed up at this point. Like, I like to say we're two older gentlemen here, still in our primes here in our TV career. But when did it become where, like, a baseball player, like 27, 28, right in the middle of his prime, in the Olympics, you're considered the old head here and still dominating? Love to see it here. The Olympics are showing up big here, specifically with some of those athletes outside of their prime but still winning gold medals. Great stuff to see. Major League Baseball yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians 10, the Baltimore Orioles 3. Checking out this game, overall pitching matchups, lively. Six innings pitched. Two earned runs did the job. Rodgers, not a great debut for those O's. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 5 earned runs given up. That's an offensive performance for Cleveland. Ramirez, 3 RBI yesterday, and also Fry. Love to see that.
Yeah, listen, the Guardians are the number one team at home in Major League Baseball for a reason this year here, Donnie. They've played a lot of games like this where A lot of hits, a lot of home runs, a lot of balls flying out of the park. They are a over machine in that ballpark here, and I think it continues in this series throughout the weekend.
Yeah, good win for them. It's one of those teams that you just can't quite put your finger on if they're actually going to be legitimate contenders at the end of the season, but it's no fluke. One of the best teams in baseball, most wins in baseball, I believe, now as well. Good stuff out of the Guardians. Let's keep it in the Major League Baseball realm. The Angels and Mike Trout, I mean, correct me if you've heard this before. Hey, Trout's down for the season once again if they're trying to come back from yet another injury. Is it going to make a difference? Oh, no, there goes the Angel season. The Angel season was up in smoke the minute they threw the first pitch in this baseball season. It's just a shame to see one of the all-time players struggling with injuries season after season after season, Joe.
Guy spends the first 9 years of his career without a scratch, setting war records in Major League Baseball like we've never seen. Better than Bonds, better than anybody prior to him. The last 4 years, he can't play 12 games straight. It's the most unbelievable, unlucky thing. I don't know what else to say. It's not like he's not in shape. It's just the string of bad luck surrounding one of the all-time greatest is just absolutely head-shaking to me. It really is.
And you sort of resign yourself to the fact that Mike Trout and the playoffs, that's just two things that aren't synonymous with each other. It would be even more of a shame, let's just say, Joe, if you played for a legitimate contender like the Yankees, the Phillies, or the Dodgers, where it's like, oh, no, we're not going to see Trout down the stretch and in the playoffs. They weren't going anywhere. So when that comes up, like, oh, Trout's going to get shut down again, it barely sends a ripple through the atmosphere because we're used to Mike Trout not being in October baseball. Let's go ahead and continue with more injuries. Keep it in the state of California. The Chargers, Justin Herbert. Plantar fascia injury. You never want to see this. Oh, he'll be ready for game number one. You need that time in training camp. He's going to be in a walk-in boot here, Joe, for 2 weeks, and they're saying, we hope he's ready for game number one. Not a great start to the Harbaugh regime here.
Greg Roman, new offensive coordinator. All the old guard receivers, running backs are gone. It's a whole new team. And you expect me to believe that he's going to walk around in a boot for 2 weeks, they hope, and then what? And then be ready somehow after that, fall out of the sky if there's no setback. And with that injury, Donnie, we know it's a huge if, hoping that everything will be well in 4 weeks. I have my doubts he'll be ready for week one.
Plantar fasciitis in his plant foot as well, which means that's the back foot where you get all that torque to throw off of. Not a good scene here. And again, hey, we can manage that pain. Have you ever walked around with a banged up foot just trying to make it from your bed to the bathroom here? And this guy's expected to play professional football. We'll see how it goes. Of course, he's going to get the top health care. But at the same time, walking into week number one with a bad foot, we'll see how that plays out. DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to be walking around with a bad knee for 4 to 6 weeks here, which means he is going to probably miss the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. The Titans, for me, are one of those teams where I say a 6.5 team total. I like the over. I think the talent is there for it. They don't have to make the playoffs, just get the 7 wins. But if we're starting off the season with a guy that we're looking to count on already with a knee injury, tell me how this plays out in a good way, Joe. I don't see it.
Well, not great. I mean, if I'm Will Levis, I'm not happy this morning at all. I mean, because that was going to be his security blanket. And the MRI came back. Apparently nothing crazy for long term. So hopefully the rest here will be just enough to be able to get him back in and they can weather the storm. But he needs to be available for the maturation of Will Levis here this year.
No, that's a great point because you take a look at that wide receiving core. It's very good, and that's what you want to see. You say, you know what? How can I evaluate my young quarterback? That's the way to do it. He's going to be down probably a minimum, as we said, 4 to 6 weeks. We'll see how that plays out into the regular season for Hopkins. How about this Major League Baseball? I'm glad one sports league is finally waking up, Joe. And the reason we can bring this up now is you look at the NBA. Did they not have all 3.5 months from the Eastern and Western Conference Finals into the NBA Finals, crushing all momentum? Imagine a league going like, hey, guys, if it ends early, we can move this up. Genius by Major League Baseball to possibly move up the World Series so we don't have a week of dead air.
Yeah, I don't know what took so long, quite honestly, here. I mean, if you get sweeps in the early rounds, like what are we all waiting for? Like, let's move it here. Now, the only other thing that we would need is if they can actually swap out teams. Because we're like, yeah, this team blows. We don't want them in here. Let's see if we can get somebody else out. But it took baseball long enough to get with the times here for sure.
At least they're Major League Baseball stadiums, because the problem that we have, why the to push the games back because, you know, Dua Lipa is out here needing concerts in Denver. So you got to push the NBA Finals back 2 or 3 days. We don't have that in Major League Baseball in the outdoor stadiums, but good on MLB. Speed things up. We love to see it. The NFL was back in play last night. Joe and Donnie in the morning. We're going to talk about that game next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's a football Friday, and it does feel glorious. The minute we hit the month of August, we got football right out of the gate, the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. But Joe Ranieri, I'm one of those guys that says to myself, I am just so excited to see football back on my TV. I don't care what type of football it is. I watched about 45 minutes of the pregame show yesterday. Shout out Jason Kelce doing big things there on ESPN, and away you go into the season. But it seems like every single segment, and rightfully so, usually I don't hype myself up. I'm just like, oh my goodness, I want to watch this whole game. But for the first time in a long time, I had to get to see the opening kickoff. I typically say, why? Just because football is back? Like, no, the changing of the rules and the concept changes. Now, granted, these are going to change throughout the season. Nobody's going to tip their hand, Joe, and say, you know what? Let me put my best reverse kick return play the first time we see this year. It's going to be vanilla. But let's start here before we get to the game. What were your thoughts preseason? And I say we're in preseason now, but before the season started, about the kickoff rule. And then now that you've seen the new kickoff in action, what are your thoughts on that?
If I had just, you know, woken up from a coma and turned that game on last night and saw it, I'd be like, oh, so the XFL is playing Thursday nights now? Is that what we've got? This looks like a lot of fun. Like, what the hell are we doing here? First of all, you've had how long to even try and get up to speed with this style of kickoff? And every time I turned around, there were guys out of formation, guys that were jumping off. They were too far ahead to, like, what in the world is going on here? I'm a big proponent of it ain't broke, we ain't fixing it here. I do not understand this. Maybe it'll get better in 3 months, Donnie, but I am very skeptical on the gimmicky stuff here on what we're doing.
The hard part is getting used to it, right? It's the optics of it, because I do think the NFL was right to say, well, there's two ways we can go about this. We can try to improve and actually have a kickoff, or we can just do away with it and place the ball in the 25-yard line. Now, when you do that, NFL owners probably would love it, because you know what they would go? Okay, I got a 53-man roster, 55-man roster. Oh, if we don't need special teams, I can now only pay 40 guys. This is fantastic. The NFL union's not going to go for that, because then jobs would go away. Those backup linebackers, they're used on special teams. But I got to tell you, you're right about it. We will get used to it. But the first time, couple times that we watched it last night, it actually doesn't feel like football. Now, when they catch it and start to return it, it does. But the fact that there's a kicker all by himself who launches the ball and designed to get it between like the 10 and 5 yard line, but nobody is moving out there. It's just like an eerie concept. And you're right. It does feel XFL, UFL-ish at times. Now, also, let me ask you this question. Watching it play out last night, we're going to see it hundreds of more times in the preseason. Do you expect this to have a positive influence on scoring, negligible, or have a negative influence, as just there's going to be maybe penalty flags flying all over the place?
That's a great question, and that's the million-dollar question, right? What are we going to get here with this, Donnie? What does this mean more? Does it mean not? Does downing the ball in the end zone and getting an extra 5 yards, right? I think they're bringing it out to the 30 now. Does that come into play? Is that extra 5 yards going to make a difference? I don't know. I know they asked Devin Hester last night on the broadcast, who, you know, one of the greatest kick returner of all time. They were like, what do you think of this? And he's like, I'm kind of shocked nobody brought it back to the house. You know, he said, I'm kind of shocked they didn't get more yardage from it and you know, gave themselves better field position. So, listen, the one thing I know is the longer it goes on, there are enough brilliant NFL minds that are going to figure out ways to exploit this, even if Bill Belichick is not on the sidelines this season.
And also keep in mind, too, because Joe is right, we're going to see a lot of different tactics here throughout the regular season, because it's not as if the NFL is telling us, okay, if you kick this ball out of bounds or if you kick this through the end zone, the other team gets the football at midfield. It is the 30-yard line. So you're going to see teams that are up 14, 21 points go, why am I going to give this team even a kick return here? I'm just going to blast this out of the end zone. Yeah, you get the ball at the 30-yard line. You still got to travel 70 yards to score a touchdown late in games, right? Like 4 or 5 seconds left to go. You might not see the I don't even know if you're even allowed to squib kick it, per se, at that point here.
Correct.
Maybe just blast it into the back of the end zone there. So there are some questions that will be answered, but it was just good to see the play of it last night. Now, the game itself, 21-17. If that was the final score of a preseason game, we'd say, wow, that's a lot of points here, because we were looking at 28.5, 30.5, 31.5, depending on when you were actually betting this game throughout the week. So we saw the 38 points, 5 touchdown passes. How did you feel about the game itself? Because if we're going to get preseason football like this, that's fantastic, because we're way too used to 17-3. What a boring game. I enjoyed that game last night until it got suspended.
Third straight over in this game, too. Which was preceded by 9 straight unders. I mean, when you saw the total, Donnie, hovering around 31.5, 32.5, you're going, oh boy, this is going to be a whole lot of fun. But the reality was, it was slinging it all over the place with these two teams. And who'd have thunk it, right? You know, third string quarterbacks making plays, third string wide receivers making plays. The thing you're always worried about in these games, Donnie, is the offensive line come the fourth quarter, right? Who the hell are they protecting? And if you have a non-mobile quarterback, then the game just, it stops to a halt. No scoring. But that wasn't the case yesterday. We didn't get to the fourth quarter. But what we saw early on from all the backups, that was pretty impressive last night.
Yeah, Brett Rippon's been around the block here. Davis Mills has a lot of starts under his belt for the Texans. That's primarily the way you would end up betting preseason. It's never about the starting quarterback. Typically, if it is the starter, let me get one series, throw a quick slant pass, and get out of there. So you have second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter to see what those backups are going to be. So I thought it was a clean game until the rain kept in. Rippon was 11-15 for a 166 and 3 touchdown passes. Khalil Herbert, veteran running back here, 4 carries, 35 yards. Colin Johnson, 3 catches for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. Obviously, I didn't really check to see if anybody was worse for the wear at the end of this game, but obviously no starters were playing. Were you upset? Some people were upset, Joe, in here, and said to themselves, man, come on. The young quarterback's got to get some spin in that game. Did you have an issue with those guys not playing, particularly from a Chicago Bears perspective?
Some people are delusional, Donnie. That's the only way I can come up with there. The idea that they'd be rolling out Stroud and Caleb Williams and the rest of the starters in the Hall of Fame game is quite laughable, people. And listen, you're probably not going to see either of those guys maybe a whole lot since now it's only 3 games, right? The preseason. So it's a shortened preseason. I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot, certainly from Stroud, maybe a little more from Caleb Williams because he is the rookie, but I would not expect a whole lot of starters across the NFL to be playing a whole lot of minutes over these next couple of weeks.
And people have to understand, if you're playing Caleb Williams, it means you're playing the rest of the 10 starters on offense. Well, you don't want to do that. It's understandable. The Olympics, big day yesterday. Let's hit a recap next. Radio on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Olympics are going on right now, people, and they are live. How about men's basketball right now? Greece and Australia, 53-36 into the third quarter they go. So Greece looking good there with Giannis Antetokounmpo. But let's recap what happened yesterday, Joe, on the Team U.S. side of things. You take a look at some of the greats of all time. Now, sometimes, Joe, we always get caught up in the moment, right? Ooh, this is the best basketball player I've ever seen. That was the greatest player I've ever watched. And you don't let it settle in. But sometimes historical things really ramp up in the Olympics, because we don't see this every other week. Hey, won 4 out of 5 golf tournaments over the past month and a half here. The Olympics are every 4 years. Simone Biles coming out and absolutely dominated the all-around for another gold medal. The one thing that you can appreciate is sometimes you watch athletes and go, oh, that's really good. Boy, she's pretty impressive. He's pretty impressive. But when you watch the rest of the women's gymnastic competition, then you watch Simone Biles, it's a different level. She is phenomenal out there, the most athletic by far. And on the biggest stage, when you must perform in that one-minute moment, she dominated in her floor routine. It's fun to watch athletes excel at the highest level here, Joe.
And when you think about where we saw her 4 years ago or 3 years ago in Japan with the Olympics, and how she was she was a shell of what we are seeing here. So to overcome the mental aspect of it as well, where she had the weight of the world on her shoulders, thinking the entire country hated her because she just couldn't get it done 3 years ago. And then to come back on this older and to be able to fight through that and get it done, just absolutely unbelievable. The greatest single women's gymnastics athlete in the history of the Olympic Games. That is a hell of a title, and it says an awful lot about who she is.
And to be that dominant also with a calf injury, that's where you get your explosion at. You watch these ladies out there on how many routines they do. It's amazing that she was phenomenal all the way through, got the gold medal, expected, and got it done. One of the greatest to ever do it here. Team USA basketball, the women's side, probably the greatest to ever do it as well. Another victory yesterday over Belgium, 87-74. This game got close in the second half, but Team USA was able to pull away. And I've been asking every guest that has come on here the early line this week, is it going to be the U.S. in a runaway? We all expect them to win gold medal, right? But are we going to get a team that's going to be able to challenge Team U.S. within single digits? We almost got that yesterday.
Yeah, almost. And then they decided, that's not going to happen. when you're talking about a group and a team sport in the Olympics that has not lost a game since 1992 in the Olympics, we are dealing with pure domination here. 57 straight, I believe, now for the U.S. women's basketball team. And quite honestly, that could be the closest anybody gets was yesterday. And really, that was never really that much in doubt here, especially when the game mattered the most. So I just don't see it. They will sweep. They will get gold, and they will move on to, in 4 years, another opportunity to continue not to lose games. I mean, that is a remarkable record for a sport that has been so dominated. You haven't lost a game since the 92 Olympics? I mean, that is out of control, Donnie. That's out of control.
No, it really is. And wait till they start shooting a three-point shot with more efficiency as well, able to pull away. But they should win gold medal. They're expected to win it, and we would be shocked, certainly, if they didn't. How about Katie Ledecky? I preface by saying this. Getting to the Olympics is probably hard enough, which means you're one of the best in the country at your sport here. Getting into the Olympics and advancing through the semifinals and getting to the finals, hard enough. Just winning a single medal, let it be a bronze, even harder. Katie Ledecky, 13 medals now in Olympic competition, one of the best to ever do it, and also in the sport of swimming, which means you are spending hours and hours and hours by yourself in a pool with nobody around, as if you're getting everybody cheering for you. Phenomenal effort by Ledecky, maybe the best to ever do it here in the pool from the women's side.
And, coming off, she just won gold the day before in Olympic time, making record time in the 1500-meter freestyle. Then she was on the team yesterday that finished second, the 4x200-meter. We're talking some legendary folks in the Olympics that had those medals. 12, I believe she was tied with three others, or there were three altogether. Yeah. And she just set the pace herself. It's unbelievable in a sport where it is always run by the much younger athletes, always dominated by the much younger athletes. Crazy stuff there.
Exactly. Yep, Kate Douglas there wins the 200-meter breaststroke gold medal as well. Yep. And then also, how about this one? Andy Murray ends his career with a doubles loss. I thought Andy Murray was done in like 2017 at this point. I mean, how many more tournaments is this guy going to be able to play in? He's going to have another comeback tour at this point. A lot of careers apparently ending in tennis in the Olympics. But Major League Baseball, short card yesterday, big card today. Let's check out the standings right here on the early line coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
right back out of here enjoying our time with the Olympics. And I love that. By the way, Joe, let me ask you this question, too. Sometimes we get caught up, and let's just say the Olympics are in Japan, let's just say, you know, Tokyo or overseas in a different time zone. Now, granted, they're in a different time zone in the U.S., but I love the fact that it happens during the day and you have a chance at the end of the night on like NBC where they recap the entire day. How are you feeling about it? Would you rather like the Olympics if they were, let's just say, in Atlanta or Los Angeles in our time zone being in prime time? Or do you like the fact that they are actually during the day where you can watch it, take it in, and then get the recaps at night?
Yeah, they're both okay in my book. I mean, either way, because I would consume it the same way, Donnie. I don't know that I'm dropping what I'm doing at 10 o'clock in the morning to see canoeing. So I don't know that that would change if it was in prime time either. So I do think that, I'll tell you what's nice is that we get up here this morning and the golf guys are at it like it's a major overseas, like the Open Championship or something like that. So, you know, that's kind of cool. But I would be just as happy as long as the storylines are what they have been so far this Olympics in 4 years when it is in prime time, because I think that's really what matters most when people's interest to the Olympics. It's all about the storylines, and they'll find it and consume it if they find it to be interesting, even though they know nothing about the sport.
Exactly. Well, just wait for this. This is going to be special, and I know I'm probably going to get caught on this on the weekend. When breakdancing hits, we need to go live to Joe Ranieri for the handicap, who's the best, what they thought about the competitions. And I was asking this question, by the way, yesterday on radio, Joe. Like, do you get to pick your own music? Like, because I was saying, like, is it Vanilla Ice? Are you going with, like, you know, a little Naughty by Nature back in the day, Tupac, Biggie? Like, is there music? Because, by the way, Joe, they can't be breakdancing in the Olympics silent, right? That can't happen.
Absolutely not. That would be horrific on so many levels. And by the way, I mean, kudos to France for choosing this sport. What I did not know, Donnie, because I had a big problem with there being no softball or baseball in this Olympics. And what I found out was apparently the host country has a big influence and a big say on what sports get in and what sports get out. So we're not getting any baseball or softball in France, but we are getting breakdancing, and I am all for it. So kudos to France for pulling this one out and getting breakdancing in on the action. But if you ain't going old school Sugar Hill Gang and the original hip hop, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what's going to happen here. You got to go old school with this.
Little Bismarck key beatboxing out there. It does make some sense. And by the way, like when we get it in Los Angeles, we're gonna have baseball, football, we're gonna have pickleball, anything you name it here. But it's just interesting to watch it overall that breakdancing is in. And at first you would say to yourself, like, that's ridiculous, that's not a sport. But I guarantee you, if breakdancing is on your TV, you are watching for at least a couple minutes
every
and probably
match
will get suckered into it. Of course it is. Let's take a look at the medal counts here in Paris 2024. Team USA, no surprise, 37 medals, widening that margin here, Joe. 27, the next closest with France, followed by China, Great Britain, and Australia. And we haven't even gotten to Team USA's bread and butter coming up, and that's track and field.
Oh, I cannot wait. We're doing actually pretty good in the medal count. I would like to see a few more gold medals come. I think we hold the record for a single games with 83 golds. I don't think we're ever going to see that again, but We did pretty good last time out, too, as far as full medal count goes in Japan. We'll see if we can outdo that number in this one. And there's no reason with the events coming up that we usually dominate in anyway. There's no reason this can't be another epic Olympic takedown here when it comes to total medals.
No doubt about it. We'll see if the U.S. can lead in golds and total medals. A long way to go to the Olympics, but as we said, track and field just started to come into play shortly here, and a lot of fun will be had. The fastest man on the earth, the fastest woman on the earth, always great competitions here. Let's transition over to Major League Baseball, because two of the best, as we talk about, the best in the world. How about the Orioles and the Guardians? 10-3 yesterday, the final. The Guardians win this one easy, jumping out ahead early. And if you are looking to make your debut, it doesn't usually go this way. Like, a guy goes from a bad baseball team to a good baseball team. He's reinvigorated and he's ready to go. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood wasn't that great yesterday as he drops to 2-10 on the season, ERA close to 5. The Guardians were better from start to finish and trying to let us know that, hey, maybe we are the best team in the American League. Put some respect on our name.
Listen, just so unfair to Trevor Rogers. I mean, the guy got to the ballpark and was like, you're pitching today. He said, he's like, this was quite a whirlwind here today. He didn't even have a chance to get with Rutschman, the catcher, until he took the mound. Like, this wasn't even, like, he had really no idea what was going on. Rutschman has no idea who he is. That he has no idea who the catcher is. So the whole situation was, hurry up, we need somebody to pitch. Why not bring the new guy in? So that was kind of unfortunate on the road in one of the, you know, one of the ballparks that is, and call me crazy, Donnie, but this might be the best home field advantage in Major League Baseball right now with how good the Guardians have been at home. Just an unfortunate situation for Rogers, though. Welcome to the Orioles. And by the way, you're pitching today. My goodness.
It is pretty. And you're right about that, too, because so many times, and also pitchers love to have the same catcher every time they're out. So not only do you not know who the catcher is, you don't have the communication down. It's like, hey, man, and you're not going up against one of the worst teams in baseball. Like, you got the White Sox in. It doesn't matter what we do or who we have out here. You're going to win this game. You're going up against the best team in baseball. And that might catch some people off guard because betting-wise, not necessarily the case. But if you say right now, we're sitting here on August 2nd, hey, Joe, who has more wins than anybody else in Major League Baseball? I don't know, Yankees, Phillies? Like, no, it's the Cleveland Guardians. If the season ended today, they're the number one overall seed in Major League Baseball, which is pretty impressive. Yep. But if we look at the betting optics here, the AL pennant odds is followed. The Yankees still the favorite at a plus 240 price. You take a look at the Orioles at a plus 280. The Guardians at a 6-1 price with the best record in Major League Baseball, followed by the Astros, Twins, Mariners, and Royals. So let me ask you this question. We'll start with the Guardians. Bettable number one at a 6-1 price in your opinion, or are they really the best team in baseball? They have the best record in baseball. And what's the outlook for you for the Guardians down the stretch?
Yeah, you can't sleep on them. I can't dismiss them, but I can't sleep on them either. And at that price right now, I think it's only going to get better from there. I think the big question is the Astros underneath them at that price point, too. That team is also going to be interesting. But I do think the Astros will end up getting more love if they continue down the path they're continuing. I don't think the Guardians are going to garner the same kind of market support that the Astros will. So there's going to be some value with the Guardians. And the big question on everyone's mind is, can they keep this up? Is this feasible? And can they beat? Well, I think this series against Baltimore this weekend is a great litmus test, right? Can they battle the American League East top two teams there with Baltimore and the Yankees? Can they win in a series? I'm a little shaky with that starting pitching, but I guess we'll see how they do with Baltimore this weekend.
Yeah, hanging on right now. Most wins in Major League Baseball, certainly impressive stuff by the Central Division standard. We usually leave them out in the National League and the American League. Somebody on the West or the East is going to win this. We'll find out soon. Let's get to the Kansas City Royals. They had a 7-1 victory yesterday over the Detroit Tigers. Were we stunned by that? No. Better pitcher on the mound was with Kansas City? Absolutely. But I'm telling you right now, it's must-see TV every time Bobby Witt Jr. is at the plate. 2-for-4 yesterday, 2 RBI, another home run, 350 on the season. They signed this guy feeling like, hey, he's going to be a good ball player for us for the next couple of years. I don't even think anybody in their wildest dream would figure that he's the best hitter in baseball, and he is absolutely dominant, Joe.
And he's an old school type of hitter. He sprays the ball all over the place, left center, right center, can hit for some power here, but a guy that you absolutely want up when it matters the most here. So kudos to him. Not surprising that the Royals locked him up sooner rather than later, because even the Royals figured out what they had in their system. You can build a franchise around this guy, a winning franchise around this guy, and that's exactly what Kansas City plans to do.
Yeah, yesterday my favorite RBI prop of the day was Bobby Witt Jr. My favorite money line of the day here, Joe Ranieri, was the Chicago Cubs. Easy victory, 5-4 over the Cardinals. Well, maybe not so easy.
Yeah.
They needed 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning, including a couple runs played with 2 outs here. But the money spends the same. It goes down in the record books as a win, and that's an easy cover for your boy. Let's continue to talk Major League Baseball on this Friday morning right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we talk about leading the way in the American League and the National League, look, this has been one of these areas that have been changing, quite frankly, a lot over the past couple weeks. Who is actually has the best record in baseball and who is going to have the best record in baseball when it's all said and done before we hit the postseason? If we line up teams now, there's a lot of teams that have 60-plus wins. The Royals, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Orioles, Phillies, and Guardians. I'll tell you, it's pretty incredible. Like, we're talking this early. I say this early in the season. Usually it's 61 wins for the Royals September 27th. We're only a couple days into August right now, and the Royals already have 60-plus wins, which is impressive. But again, that trivia guess, who has the most wins in Major League Baseball? The Phillies, the Orioles, the Yankees, the Dodgers, right? The easy teams. No, it's actually the Cleveland Guardians at 66-42 on the season, winners of 7 of their past 10 games, and on a 4-game win streak, and handled easily yesterday the Baltimore Orioles. So my question to you is right now, if we're looking for the season, the way it plays out, do you believe the Guardians have a legitimate chance to finish with the number one overall record in baseball? And more importantly, if they don't, who's your front runner?
Yeah, a lot is going to depend on the schedule and who's chasing them. I think that's the other big thing is meaningful are these Guardians games going to be down the stretch, or are they going to be able to coast and, you know, make sure that their starting rotation and their important guys are going to be ready for the postseason as opposed to trying to get the best record in Major League Baseball or in the American League. I think the Twins are going to determine how much the Guardians push this envelope here down the stretch. But there's no doubt. I mean, listen, they're not at the, none of those teams are at the point in the season with that many wins by accident. There is a reason they do it. And to think about, the Guardians lost their starting pitcher, their ace of the staff, Bieber, early on in the go. They're throwing Carrasco out there every fifth day, Donnie, and they're still winning games. Like, come, you've got to be kidding me. This is not a good rotation. This is a hodgepodge. It's a elite bullpen, but it's that those bats, and those bats specifically at Progressive Field, that have been getting the job done. It remains to see if they can continue to do that against the best arms in Major League Baseball, which is all they will face at certain stretches here, and that will determine whether or not they're the best team in Major League Baseball when it's all said and done in the regular season.
By the way, lining up these teams, because there are different parts of the season that I always like to talk about, even from a handicapping perspective. Early in the season, you like to take those dogs because you're not sure which pitcher is going to be great. And I always like to say each and every team truly believes there's a chance that they can make the playoffs. They're excited in April, early May. Then the cream starts to rise to the top, and then you get around that all-star break, the trade deadline. Then there's clear winners and losers in that tax season, as I like to call it, which means the favorites are expected to win. That favorite might have been a minus 125 in April. They're now minus 155 to a minus 160 because there are winners and losers at the trade deadline. Not having a chance to talk to you before the deadline went down, were you disappointed with some of these teams, Joe? Like, you take a look at, should the Orioles have done more? Should the Yankees have done more? Heck, even the Dodgers got Flaherty. But we were talking about just 2 weeks ago, there's a chance that they can get Crochet and Scooble to the Dodgers here. Give me maybe a winner or loser at the trade deadline that you feel is going to be set up very well in the second half, and maybe a team that you expected a little bit more to make some changes at the deadline.
Well, I think there's no doubt the all of the hype around the deadline was the Orioles with the ridiculous amount of minor league assets that they have that they could have parted with. And a lot of guys in which, by the way, I am telling you right now as we sit here, most of the guys that they could have used as chips to trade for a huge, and I mean sending a huge message to everyone else. If you go out and pull out Scooble, or you go out and pull out Crochet, you pull out one of those front-end starters to go with Corbin Burns there, you're sending a huge message to everybody else in the American League that you're in it to win it this year. But instead, you got Zach Eflin. You got some other night. So you held on to all of these pieces that in all likelihood aren't going to be with your organization in another 2 years, simply because you've got, how many more infielders are you going to have in the minor leagues that are never going to sniff the majors because of the guys you have? So, listen, it might all be water under the bridge because they run the table and win the American League and win the World Series. But if they don't, Donnie, I think we have to look back on this and say the Orioles had an opportunity to send a message to everybody that this is a different Orioles franchise. And they didn't do it. They still went the cheap route, and they kept all the assets for what? I have no idea.
Let me ask you this question. Let's play a little devil's advocate here. Mike Trout gets injured earlier in the season. He was actually having a fantastic start to the season, by the way. Mm-hmm. We never thought the Angels were going to do much here after losing Shohei Ohtani for basically nothing. So when you have a true generational superstar and lose him for nothing on the open market, you don't want to make that mistake twice. And the reason I bring this up is, what do you think was going to happen? Trout comes back into the lineup a week before the trade deadline. Let's just say his rehab, Joe, did go well. Let's just say he was back in Major League Baseball. Do you believe that the Angels were going to try to move him at the trade deadline if he was healthy? And also, do you think other takers out there would have taken Mike Trout on if, again, he was healthy?
A whole lot of big ifs there. First of all, I have no idea why they were attempting to bring him back in any way, shape, or form in a rehab situation with this team in this season. I have no idea. It kind of made no sense. When I first heard, oh, Trout's rehabbing, and I'm like, why? Why is he rehabbing? It makes absolutely no sense. Listen, he is a guy that has proven to be, hey, let's make sure he's 100% when we can actually start over here. And that's exactly where we're at. To roll him back out at the end of the year and hope he doesn't get hurt, which, P.S., he did, was just ludicrous. Because now a second torn meniscus in a already surgically repaired left knee makes him almost untouchable with that contract. Who in the hell is going to take on Mike Trout now here, Donnie? Makes no sense.
By the way, you know what also has to come into the equation? I'm not second-guessing Mike Trout here. That dude looks like he's been a linebacker his entire life since he was 10 years old from Millville, New Jersey. And by the way, he was a great high school football player until they realized, hey, look, can't beat you up here. You are going to be a star in Major League Baseball. Having said that, like last year, around the All-Star break, he was rehabbing to come back. We never even heard from him again. Like, what? I don't know what happened in his rehab. He goes to rehab this time, goes out on the baseball field, basically plays one inning, is like, yeah, my knee really hurts here. Time for another MRI. What are they doing in rehab to Mike Trout here? Is he, like, pushing trucks up a hill at this point? I have no idea, but he keeps re-injuring himself, which is crazy. Number one seeds in Major League Baseball. Who grabs him the rest of the way?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one, a lot of topics, a lot of fun. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri on this Friday, first Friday in August, which, yes, that means football season. But let's not forget about Major League Baseball. You still got the full month of August. You still got the full month of September, the whole October. And I still can't get over this, Joe, when I see that World Series, for all intents and purposes, will always end in November in the snow, maybe at Yankee Stadium in Cleveland, 22-degree temperatures out here. That is like football season. But in order to get to win a World Series, what do you want to do? Get the best seed possible before you actually get to the playoffs. And if we're lining up right now in the American League in order, the Kansas City Royals 6 games back, the Yankees 2 games back, the Orioles 2 games back of the Cleveland Guardians. So if we're looking at the odds market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to have the number one seed in the American League, it's the Yankees at a minus 120 price. It's the Orioles at a plus 190. And the Guardians, right now, if the season ended today, have a 2-game lead at a plus 470 price. Who are we hunting in the American League to get that number one overall seed?
It's tough. I mean, the Guardians certainly have a good track, but you got to go. The Yankees are a favorite, I think, for a reason at this particular point, Donnie, and they should be because of the experience, because any lineup that has Soto and, of course, the big man Judge is a lineup that you've got to pay close attention to. And I love the pickup of Leiter Jr. At the trade deadline. Listen, they got at the trade deadline, they did just enough to plug a few holes, and they're asking the guys they already have who have underperformed all year to step it up and perform. You saw LeMahieu do that in his last game there with the 6 RBIs. They sweep your Phillies. Yankees, to me, remain the team to beat. This was a team everyone was like, oh, what the hell's wrong with the Yankees? They were 18 games over 500 at the break, and we were all sticking a fork in them. Like, settle down. They have the talent. They have the pitching. They will figure it out. They are the team to beat as far as I'm concerned.
I'm with you on that. I never gave up on the Yankees, or even they were losing. And also, like, before the All-Star break, it was like, man, the Yankees could be five games out of first place in the American League East when it's all said and done. And now look at them playing good baseball, once again, hammering the Philadelphia Phillies. As we segue over to the National League, I was singing Tom Petty yesterday on the radio, free-falling. Yeah, that's my Philadelphia Phillies right now. After they swept the Dodgers, oh, that'll do it. NL East is done. National League number one seed. It's easy. Here go the Phillies on a losing streak. Now, the Dodgers, 2.5 games back are the Philadelphia Phillies for that top seed. 4 games back are the Brewers. 6 games back are the Braves. 7 are the surging San Diego Padres on the FanDuel Sportsbook odds market right now. The Phillies still the favorite, though, Joe. Minus 150 price to take down that number one overall seed. Number two is the Dodgers at plus 155. Then the Braves at a 12-1 price. So if we just focus on the top two teams, are the Dodgers going to surpass the Phillies, or is it just a case of, look, you can't play great all season long. The Phillies will eventually get it together and take down that top seed.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Because what the Phillies did, and you and I have talked about this, the Phillies have notoriously been a slow starting team, but they were the team you wanted to back after the All-Star break because they finally started clicking after the All-Star break to make their runs. This year, the schedule lined up and the way they were playing, they overperformed to a certain aspect in the first half. There was bound to be this point in the season, Donnie, where regression was going to hit. I think that's what we're seeing now. But they are not a team that I am worried about because they, too, like the Guardians, have one of the best home field advantages in all of Major League Baseball. They'll be fine.
Yeah, take a look at the National League here, just the run differential. I know a lot of people like to look at the Phillies only team over 100 as a plus run differential. They're at plus 102. The Dodgers at a plus 86, followed by the Brewers at plus 77, and the Braves at a plus 61. So it should be an exciting finish overall to the season itself. If we're looking at the Phillies and the Dodgers toe-to-toe, because here's what I thought about at the trade deadline, and also the price points here when you take a look at the Dodgers to either win the National League and or win the World Series. I was expecting the Dodgers to go, oh my gosh, how can baseball allow this? Like, the commissioner might have to step in because there were talks that money doesn't matter to the Dodgers. They have more prospects than anybody every year because their scouting is phenomenal, and also their minor league system, teaching system, is phenomenal as well. I actually thought they were going to come away with like a Tarek Skubal, a Crochet, or another top flight pitcher at the deadline. I love the fact they got Flaherty. I think that's going to help them down the stretch. But my expectations for the Dodgers were that they were going to blow everybody out. So at the same time, they don't do that at the trade deadline. I think he got a breath of fresh air from the rest of Major League Baseball going, okay, Flaherty's a solid pitcher, but that's not enough, Joe, to run away with everything. So just my 2 cents on that. And as a Phillies fan, boy, it has been tough watching these games play out. Big series on deck this weekend as the Phillies head out to the West Coast. We'll see if they can tidy up some things and hold off the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Braves down the stretch we go. Hour number two is on deck, people. Did you have fun in hour number one? Wait till you see some of the guests in hour number two. Let's have some fun party, people, on a Friday right here on the Green.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.